I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Go Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I realised the importance of self-care. Whether that's a 5 kilometre run, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5 minute dip in the sea, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. This season, I've teamed up with Vichy. Vichy is a doctor-founded dermocosmetic brand with 90 years of skincare expertise. Vichy has established the link between health and beauty and led the way in skincare innovation. Powered by active ingredients, product formulations are clinically proven, hypoallergenic and dermatologically tested for sensitive skin, making Vichy a pioneer in skin health science. Taking a holistic approach to skin health, Vichy is committed to provide safe and effective skincare routines for every skin type at every life stage. All Vichy products are available in pharmacies nationwide. Hello, I hope you are well this week. This week on the podcast, I'm joined by Dominique Nugent. Dominique has been sharing her journey online and has connected with thousands of women across Ireland over the past few months. Last summer, Dominique shared something really personal that she had decided to call off her wedding. Since then, she's been on a journey of growth, and today she tells me about the ups and downs of putting her life back together. Dominique is the girl next door. She's as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. She has really been through it, but has come out the other side, in her own words, as a whole person. She tells me that she's found a way to make herself happy and surrounds herself with people that make her feel good. Life isn't perfect for any of us. We will all face things we have to overcome. That is life. But today, Dominique shares her story of hope. She says a wise man once told her that 2 + 2 = 4, but 3 + 1 = 4, that there's different routes in life and we will all find our way to happiness. It hasn't been easy for Dominique, but she is coming out the other side, knowing herself better and knowing that she's on the path to a greater destination. Sometimes we have to go through dark times to get to the light, and the light is there waiting for us all. I hope you enjoy. Dominique, welcome to the Go Glow podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Dominique, I think we've all been watching you with such awe over the last year. You've come through so much, and thank you so much for being so open and honest. And I'm sure you've helped so many people with your story. Let's start with how you feel today, how you feel in 2021. And, you know, I always say time is a healer, but do you feel like you've gotten to that point yet?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like when I woke up into 2021, I was like, okay, I'm going to be more positive. I'm going to be happier. I really just wanted that year to be over. The last few months have obviously been really difficult for me, but it was really a fresh start. I know a lot of people say that in January. In my mind, I was like, once I get into January, a new year, I'm going to try and really move on from this and just be a happier version of myself.
It's funny, on New Year's Eve, actually, I don't know why, especially this year, it's probably because we were all sitting at home and kind of had time to reflect on the year. And I definitely know what it feels like to get a year behind you, like a bad year, and kind of know that the next day you're waking up in a new year, you know, you've got optimism and positivity. And I suppose underneath it all, we're all looking to just survive things and put our best foot forward, and you have certainly been doing that over the last few months.
I know going into this year, a lot of people were behind me and really rooting for me to be happier, and I obviously shared a lot online that was quite personal that not a lot of people would share. I chose to kind of go into it at the time because I feel like I spoke about my wedding online so much. I spoke about the lead up, the planning, meeting my wedding planner. I felt like I couldn't just go away from Instagram and say nothing and hope that it would blow over. There would be people asking questions or gossip or people just genuinely interested in what had happened. That's why I kind of chose to share. I took a lot of time offline when it initially happened. I just turned off my phone. I deactivated all of my social media accounts. I just couldn't deal with anybody. I couldn't deal at all. So I just switched off from that. And I suppose the first post that I done back kind of got a major reaction from people, because a lot of people were genuinely shocked, which I still feel now. I still feel shocked at kind of what happened. But it opened up a really big community for me. I spoke to so many women, I spoke to men that were in similar situations, and it really, really helped me to kind of, not to move on from it, but to realise there has been people in these situations that have moved on and they've found happiness again. Because when it initially happened, all I kept thinking was, I'm never going to be happy again. I'm just never going to feel that happiness again. So to hear stories from other people of, like, they were with somebody for 20 years or they were with someone for 2 years, it doesn't really matter how long the amount of time is with someone, but to hear that they moved on and they were happy now in their lives, it really gave me a bit of a lift, even though I felt in my head that won't happen for me. I'm not going to be the same, but it did. It made me feel happy that it can happen.
And you said in that initial post in September, just for anyone who doesn't follow you, and I'm sure that's very few people at this stage, you have such an amazing community online, but you had said that you were betrayed by the person you were with for 6 years. And we're not going to get into the details of that today. This is more about your story of new beginnings. But it must have been, like, how long did you think about that post for, and to come out and say it was so difficult for you? But like you said, you'd been talking about your wedding for so long, it wouldn't have made any sense if you just didn't address it. So how did you feel that day writing that and publishing it? You must have been very nervous about it.
I was so nervous, and I was still so heartbroken. It was so fresh. It was literally probably 3.5 weeks after we had broken up. But the 5th of September would have been our wedding day. And just before we had broken up, I had kind of companies contacting me asking if I was going to do any small celebration at home. Do you know, they would come and decorate my house, all that type of stuff. So I knew I would still get messages like that. That's why I switched off social media accounts. And I'm sure people were thinking, where have I gone? I thought about it for a long time. Like, my family were like, are you going to address it? Obviously, it's very personal, but I knew straight away I would address it. I knew I wasn't going to completely say nothing. I knew I had to take the time off for myself and just be away from social media, be away from my phone. I didn't answer any, like, calls. I didn't answer texts. I was very much cut off from a lot of people, and I just surrounded myself and my family. But I said to them the week leading up to the wedding day, that was the first big kind of milestone that I felt I had to get over. Obviously, with COVID, the 5th of September wasn't actually going to be our wedding day then. It was to be next August. We had to postpone. But that was still, I still kept thinking, oh, the 5th is going to be our wedding day. But the week leading up to it, I wasn't sleeping at all. I wasn't eating. I wasn't doing anything. So at night time, I was writing that post. I was writing it for a long time. I was editing out words. I was like, oh, what does that sound like? And in the lead up, in a couple of days before, I was like, will I, won't I? I didn't know literally until the day whether I would. That day, I went up to my sister's salon. I got a blow dry that morning of it. I just got out of the house. I just didn't want to be in my house. And while I was sitting in the chair, she had just washed my hair. I copy and pasted it from my notes. I put up the photograph and I turned my phone off. And I went into the toilet halfway through. I felt really sick. Do you know, that feeling of dread? But it was, I suppose, to have my own say on it. And I posted that. I went into the toilet, and when I came back out, my sister was in the kitchen in her salon, roaring, crying, and she had just read it. She was like, oh my God, there's so many people sending you messages, but I didn't want to know. I didn't want to look at it. And my family obviously didn't know, because I was going to post it, because I was so iffy about it. So I turned back on my phone for a minute and I got a message from somebody not on my side that was really nice and emotional, and it like completely set me off. I wasn't expecting it, and I turned my phone off again and then I left it off. And then when I turned it back on a couple of days later, I had just so many messages, so many. I had emails, I had DMs, and I just couldn't read them. I couldn't even click into them. There was people that were that I was friends with that still didn't know until then, people maybe that didn't live in Dublin, or that I just couldn't find the words to tell them that this had just happened. So it was a shock, I think, for a lot of people. Obviously, my close friends and family knew the situation, but a lot of other people didn't. So I was getting phone calls and messages from them, and I just couldn't face them.
And how did you feel on the 5th of September going to bed? Like, what were the nights like?
The nights were awful. From the very first day, like, my family, my sister or my mom would sleep in with me. That literally went on for months up until the new year. They have been staying in with me every night. I just felt like I couldn't cope in the nighttime. I couldn't sleep. I was just constantly crying. It's all I could do. I couldn't eat. I literally just felt so empty inside. I've never felt anything like that before. Obviously, I'd been in relationships before and broke up and they were tough, but there was nothing on this scale. It was like, you know, you have your whole life planned. You think you're getting married, you're going to have babies, you're getting a house. We were literally looking at a house the week before this. Do you know, there was so much that I had in my life, and then I just felt like it was completely all taken away and I had nothing. And I was 31, I was living at home. I just felt like I had, like, I obviously had my family and I'm so grateful for them, but myself comparing, everybody compares to all my friends. They all have children, they're all married, they're all, you know, in relationships. I just felt like, how was this happening now? I didn't see it coming. Oh, I don't know. Them first few weeks, when I think of the first 3 weeks mainly, they were so, so bad. Like, I didn't want to be here. I've never felt like that before. I feel like I would be quite a positive person and I like being happy. I like making people happy. And I just felt like I was bringing so much sadness to everyone around me. And everybody was heartbroken. Like, my whole family were heartbroken, even down to my 5-year-old niece. She was so upset my mom would mind my niece and nephew while my sister works. So they were always in my house, and obviously we had moved back home to save for the house, so we were always around them. And she was really upset the first week. I remember my sister saying that she cried herself to sleep one of the nights, and I was like, oh my God, like, she's 5 and she's heartbroken. And then I kind of kicked in and thought, I don't want to be so upset around her. I don't want her to see me so upset. So I made an effort to not cry when they were there. So that was hard. And then I would just break down when they left. It was hard for my family, I think, to see me that way.
I've spoken to so many people on this podcast, and Rachel Gorry being one. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, you try to be really strong for your family and then you turn to your phone and you can almost say everything because it feels like, you know, you're not talking to anybody. There is that worry, isn't there, that like your family will, you don't want your family to be upset. You don't want your family to worry about you. But it's amazing to see that, you know, you, like you say, with your mum sleeping in with you, that you could kind of let it out with them at times, which must have been a relief for them to know you were letting it out. But also they must have been just up the walls about you.
Yeah, they totally were. Like, they were obviously all heartbroken. They were really sad, but they all had kind of different reactions to it. I know they didn't want to be upset around me as well. Mm. Like, my sisters couldn't help it. I remember my little sister had to take a day from work, and when she went back in, she said she got a phone call and somebody on the line had the same surname, and she said it set her off and she couldn't stop crying in work. Do you know, it was like it affected them all so much. Like, I think 2 days after, my sister bumped her car into a tree. She just said she was so distracted And their mind was just so on me. And I was worried then. I was like, I have them so distracted. I have them that way. I obviously work for my dad, and he wanted me to come back to work straight away. And I thought, not a hope. I'm not going back in there. I had obviously, we work, or he has a furniture shop, and that's where I work. So when people come in and are buying furniture, they would come in 2 and 3 times and you'd get chatting to them. So there were so many people, couples coming in that I would, if they had just bought a house, I'd be like, oh, we're looking at a house, you know, all these type of things. And they would come in, like, you know them, you build up kind of a relationship, not a relationship, but you know what I mean, with customers that come in and they know you. And sometimes there's customers over a couple of years. So I just kept thinking, oh, I'm going to go back in there and someone is going to say something to me. And what if I break down? I just felt like I would be so awkward for making people awkward around me. Mm-hmm. Like if they say something about the wedding, and obviously it had been postponed, so there was talk of that already. And I just felt so, it was just such awkwardness. I was like, I can't go in there, I can't do it. And they didn't want me, my dad didn't want me lying in bed, or just, he was like, don't, like, get up, just do this. But I couldn't, I just couldn't. So I think it was 3 days after, he was like, you have to come into work today. And I was like, I can't go in, I can't. And he was like, come on, you need to. He was really trying to get me up and out of the house. And obviously my mom and my sisters were like, leave her alone, she's not going in. But I did, I got up and I went. I actually went to the chemist first for my granny to pick up a prescription for her. And in the chemist, when I went in, this song was on. Do you know that song from A Star Is Born, I'll Never Love Again? And I felt like that was my real, like, that was my heartbreak song. And I had my mask on, do you know, up to my eyes. And I just handed in the prescription and started crying in the chemist. I went outside and sat on the bench and I just sat there crying for about 10 minutes waiting on the prescription. I just had my head down, and the chemist was in a shopping centre. Not a busy shopping centre, thank God. But I just looked at the ground and I was crying. And the lady that worked in the chemist was like, came out to the door and was shouting my granny's name. But I was just so zoned out of it. That I didn't even hear her, and she was saying it over and over again. And then I was like, oh, she's calling me. So I took the prescription and left. I went, drove into work, and I sat in our underground car park, and I couldn't get out of the car. I literally sat in that car park and sobbed for 3 hours. And I was texting my sisters and I was like, I can't go in there. I actually can't. And they rang my dad and he came down to the car park and he was like, OK, just go home. I wanted to help. I wanted you to come in here and take your mind off it. And when I did eventually go back into work, that did happen. It was a great distraction going in from, you know, 9 to 6 and having that distraction in work and then going home and having to deal with it then, because obviously I didn't want to be crying in work. So I left that day, and I think I took about a week and a half off, and then I went back in.
You told me something last night which I thought was just so lovely, that your dad took on one of your best friends to work in the shop to support you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so my friend had just had a baby. She was on maternity leave. She normally works on makeup counters, and she just didn't want to go back to the industry at the time. And I remember saying, this was before any of this happened, and I was like, imagine you came to work for us. Well, we were actually looking for somebody at the time. And then there was kind of no other talk of it. And then I had mentioned it to my dad at the time. It was probably 2 weeks previous to when we had broken up. And when he was trying to get me back into work, he was like, what if I took Ingrid on? Would you come in then? And he was like, you'll have her there. And we're a family business. So my dad is in there, my auntie is in there. So it's very close anyway. But it was so good to have her come in. It was a distraction. It distracted me teaching her stuff in work. It was so good to have her around. It was what pushed me to go back into work. So it worked.
And what were you saying to yourself in those times, you know, when you'd be looking in the mirror, and what sort of pep talks were you giving to yourself to get yourself through it?
They were not positive pep talks at all.
Really?
No, they were really negative. I was just like, I'm never going to be happy again. This is my life now. I felt like I was robbed of my future, but I felt robbed of my past as well, because any happy memories I thought of, they were tainted. Somebody actually messaged me when I went back online and was talking, and they were saying it's something called living loss. It's like the person is still alive, but you're grieving the loss of them. And it really resonated with me. I really felt that, because it was like a loss, but it wasn't a loss in the sense that you could look back and be like, oh my God, you remember that time? We were so happy then, and have happy memories. Because I felt like when I looked back now, I don't have the happy memories. They're not there anymore. I think, did this happen then, or did that happen then? So I felt robbed. I was just really negative. I needed guidance. I went to a medium. That was something that I would never go to either. I'm not really into things like that, but my friend actually, Ingrid, had went to one a couple of years before, and she said this lady was really good, and she said she would go with me. So I went to her. I think it was probably about 4 weeks after. I was so nervous. I'm kind of afraid of that type of stuff, but I just wanted to go in, and I wanted to know, would I ever feel happy again? That was my main question. And everyone was like, you will, it's just time. Which is very true that I see now, like when I'm looking back. But at the time when you're feeling it, you just think, I'm never going to feel any different.
Yeah.
It's always going to feel like just an emptiness inside you. But when I went to the medium, she started talking. And at the start, she said a couple of things to me when I first went in. And she said, who's getting married next year? And I was like, nobody. I was conscious of not giving anything away as well, because I was like, somebody could follow me, you know. They might know things. I had put up that post a couple of days before. But when you message this medium, you don't give a name. You don't give your name. You just say the amount of people that are coming and organise the time. So I knew that. I just said nobody was getting married. Obviously, it would have been our wedding next year. But I didn't say that. So there was a couple of things initially that I was like, oh, is this going to work or whatever? So she cut the cards and she said to me, do you have a question to ask? And I said, no, but I wanted to know, would I be happy again? But I didn't want to say that. I thought that was really dramatic to say. And she let me record it at the time, the lady did. And she cut the cards, and while she was doing it, I said, I suppose I just came for some guidance. She cut the cards and she just looked straight at me and said, you will be happy again. And I was like, like caught my breath, because I was like, oh my God, she said exactly what I was thinking. That's all I wanted to know. And then she went into things that I was like, she couldn't have known. Even though I was online, I shared about my wedding, there was a lot of stuff I kept private. I didn't have a lot of that. So I was like, oh my God. And then she told me I'd be happy at Christmas time. So I was like, oh my God, at Christmas, I'm going to feel happy. She said I'd be dating someone at Christmas, which wasn't true. But it gave me that hope. Like, I felt positive after going to it, even though I was still in the midst of proper heartbreak. I felt a little bit positive when I left. I came home and I listened to the recording 3 times. With my mom, and we went through it, and I was like, do you think I'm going to be happy at Christmas? So I was just like, okay, 4 months, I just have to get through 4 months and I'll be happy again.
And sometimes, like, that's all you need, is just something tiny to cling to. And that feeling of wondering if you'll ever be happy again, or if you'll ever laugh the same way again, like, it's a really scary thought. You know, and I feel like you only think those things when you're down a very, very dark hole. So it's so amazing to hear that you got, you know, that kind of reassurance from that lady to cling on to, because it's little things like that that can make such a difference. And I think we were all watching, you know, your stories over the last few months, and it was so evident the incredible support you had around you with your family and your sisters and your mum and your dad. But you'd post like stories of listening to really sad songs or watching these romantic movies. And I remember being like, no, don't do it. Because I think it's really interesting. I've spoken to so many people on my podcast, and myself included, that through a tough time, absolutely turned away from music. I didn't turn on the radio for a year. But you turned to music. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Oh, God. I have a heartbreak playlist that I still listen to. Like, I literally made the playlist and I would put it on Spotify and have it on in work. And people were like, how are you listening to that in work? I don't know, like, how I did. I watched all of the saddest films because I was like, that's what I felt like. I felt like her. I don't know, I messaged you last night and that's what I was saying, that I watched Sex and the City, the movie, when they call off the wedding and she goes on her honeymoon. And I was like, oh my God, that's what I felt like when she was saying, will I ever laugh again? And they were like, you'll laugh when something's really funny. And she just wanted to stay in bed and she looked so bad. I was like, that was me. And I felt like I resonated with the characters. And because I didn't know anybody close to me that had kind of got this far, got this close to like marriage and it all fall apart for this reason. So I was resonating with fictional characters, and the same with songs. I would listen to every word of the song, like, that applies to my life. And I would just sit, listen to them and bawl my eyes out. Like, I remember one day everyone had actually gone out of my house and I didn't think they were going to be back for a while. So I went up to my room, I put on that song From A Star Is Born on YouTube, and I had it up to 100 on the telly. It was so loud, like, I'd say the neighbours were like, oh my God, she's having a cry fest again. And I was absolutely sobbing, like, my whole top was soaking wet. And like, I was on replay, like, I just had it going over and over again. I really needed to just let it all out when my family weren't there to see me so badly lose it. And my bedroom door just opened and was like, it was absolutely blaring like a theatre. And she was like, Emma is downstairs, like, my friend. And I was like, oh my God. I actually just start roaring laughing because I was like, oh my God, I must look absolutely insane. Like, the telly absolutely blaring. I just came out to the stairs and looked down and she was like, oh, Dom. My whole top was soaking. My eyes were so swollen because I don't know how many times I listened to it over and over again crying. And, oh, God, it's so funny when I think of it now, but it was bad, but that's what I listened to. It helped. I needed to get it out. I felt like when I was holding it in, it was like trapped inside me and I needed to just cry all of the time.
I'll get back to that conversation in just a minute. But first, I wanted to tell you about Vichy's iconic Hydration Serum Mineral 89. Enriched with hyaluronic acid and 89% Vichy volcanic water, which is naturally found in French volcanoes and rich in 15 minerals essential to skin health. This beautifully light gel serum gives your skin immediate hydration and glow. Think of it as a daily multi-mineral for your skin. The perfect first step in any skincare routine, suitable for all skin types. It can be used every morning and or night after cleansing your skin. For a 25% discount on Mineral 89 50ml or 75ml, use the discount code GOODGLOW25 on marspharmacy.ie. The offer is available on online purchases only until midnight, February 28th. Now, back to my conversation.
And, you know, like in the Sex and the City movie, you know, the minute she laughs again, it's like she almost forgets. And
yeah.
Did you have moments like that?
Yeah, like, it took a long time, but I remember receiving some messages. I received an email from someone and they had went through something really, really similar. And they wrote me the longest email and it was so nice. And I read the whole thing and she said, you'll go from thinking about it every second of the day to every minute of the day, every hour to every day. And then sometimes there'll be just a day that you don't think about it. And I haven't got to the stage yet where I don't think about it for the whole day, but I'm definitely not thinking about it for every second of the day. But it is just time. That's what literally every single message I got was, time as a healer. It's all to do with time, but it's just trying to pass the time. I was wishing away my life. Mm-hmm. I was like, I needed to be December. I need to be happy again. But then I was absolutely dreading Christmas. There was all these different dates that I wanted to get by. And I was like, when I get over that date, I'm going to be happy. And I was, for certain parts. Like, I don't think I was in the depths of despair for the last few months. Like, there was happy times. Like, I laughed at different things. Me and my little sister would make TikTok dances. And, you know, we'd done stupid things like that. We did laugh. But it was hard and it was a long process. And I felt like, okay, when I get over this date, like the wedding date, then we had the registry office booked for October. So I was like, when that's over, okay, then it's just Christmas. And then when Christmas is gone, it's the new year, that's it. And it's the new year now, and I'm so glad that it's here. And I feel positive and much happier.
That's amazing to hear. Do you think, with the timing of COVID, like, did that make it so much worse? Because, like, in many ways, it's a good thing that you get to maybe just cocoon at home and just be with the people you love. But also, like, there's no distraction, there's no holidays, there's no girls' nights out. Did you feel kind of like it was awful timing to be going through something like this?
Yeah, I think it was and it wasn't. Like, in a way, I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to see my friends. I wanted to just be with my family. But then I had that, I would have loved to escape. I would have left the country. I booked a flight to a country that was on the green list. And the day before, it was cancelled because the restrictions, you know, they were ever changing. They changed the day before. I changed it to a different country. And 2 days later, that got cancelled. And I was like, I am not supposed to go anywhere. I wanted to get out of here. I wanted to just hide. That was what I wanted to do. And I didn't see my friends for a long time, which obviously you couldn't really do anyway. There was different restrictions. We were going in and out of restrictions, and you could and you couldn't, and you could see one person or two people. So it helped me in a way. Like, I had to deal with it. I couldn't run from it. I had to just feel all of the emotions and be by myself, be with my family. I think that if I had have left, I would have just buried it inside me and tried to just forget about it, whereas yeah. I was forced to deal with the situation and all the feelings that it brought up with it. As I said, I didn't see my friends for a long time, and I think it was hard for them to feel distant from me, but I didn't want people outside my family to see how broken I was. Yeah. I was ashamed of feeling that broken. I would be quite stubborn, and I wouldn't take crap really in relationships, and they'd know that, and I'd say that, and I wouldn't be very lovey-dovey in different ways. So it was hard to be the person that people pitied and felt sorry for. And obviously, I know they would have had my best intentions, but I just couldn't let them see me so down over a man.
Yeah.
Obviously, I felt like it was my whole life, and he was my whole life. But obviously, there's so much more to life than one relationship. And I think I really know that now. Like, I feel like I can make myself happy. I didn't want to rush into, okay, let me go on Tinder and get another date. Like, God, the thoughts of it actually gives me the creeps now, even thinking of going on a date with someone. I can't imagine it. But I just really want to be like I went to Reiki, and the girl Hazel, after my first session, she had a chat with me, and she was like, you need to remember, you're a whole person. You're not somebody's other half. You go into a relationship as a full person, and somebody just adds the spice to it. And I was like, that's a good way of looking at it. But I just felt like I needed to build myself back up to being a whole person, and just be happy in myself. And then if I ever met anybody again, I would be in a good place to do it. I didn't want to just rush, which I think a lot of people do, even after long-term relationships. I know from even just friends, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, they were maybe going on a date and they hadn't dealt with what it was. Mm-hmm. But because of COVID, I obviously had to as well. But it did help in that way.
When you talk about Reiki, and it's something I haven't explored yet, but I'm really interested in it. What made you think of that and kind of book an appointment?
As I said, I was trying anything and everything to try and build myself up and feel better. And a lot of people recommended Reiki to me. I actually think you would really like it as well. Who was it that recommended? My friend Kira actually had been, and I was like, I don't know whether I'd be into that. And she was like, sure, if you just got a better night's sleep out of it, wouldn't it be worth it? And I was like, what's it like? It's very hard to explain when you haven't done it before, but basically it's energy healing. But she recommended a girl called Hazel, who I've been to a couple of times since now. Her company is called Halo Therapies. And she's so lovely. She totally put my mind at ease when I went in, because I was like, what am I doing here? I was really down at the time I went. And from the first to the second session, I felt a really big difference in myself. And she even said from the second session, she said when I walked in initially, I had my head down, I was hunched over, I wasn't myself. And then compared to the second session, she was like, you walked in tall, you seemed a lot more confident. And it was literally a week in the difference. But it did really help. I lay on the table and it's basically energy healing. And I couldn't believe the heat off Hazel's hands. So she goes around your body on the different chakras in your body. And then at the end, she would kind of tell you what she's got from it or the imbalances that she's felt in your body. But I couldn't get over the heat in her hands. It was like nothing that I ever felt. So I was like, oh my God, this is working. And at the end, she done this thing called cutting the cords, which is like a visualization to cut cords between you and somebody. But obviously she didn't know anything about what had happened. She didn't follow me online. There was nothing like that. But that's what she got from me. And then after, she was like, she said what it was. She knew I was going through a heartbreak. She talked about when it happened to her, something similar. She was just so lovely, and I left so much lighter. I can't explain. People say when you leave, you kind of cry all night. I actually didn't cry that day, funnily enough. I went back into work. But even my family said they noticed, and they would be very much the same as me, thinking, oh, will that work? Sure, try it, you know. But they were like, you definitely seem a little bit better in yourself. And anytime I get into really down again, like just around Christmas time, the start of December, my sister was like, maybe you should go back to Reiki. Maybe you should do another session. Whereas I know she would never in her life do it, but she knows that it had helped me a lot. The second time I went, Hazel gave me angel cards that I could ask questions to. They also helped. It was things that I would never have tried before. She gave me a little pendulum that I could ask questions. And that was what I wanted. I wanted an answer to questions. And it just helped. It was good.
Wow, so interesting. Yeah, I definitely have to check it out and get into it. And just in terms of, you know, anyone who's listening, whose friend or someone in their family is going through like heartbreak, what helped you? What did people say that helped? Was it kind of acknowledging your pain, not brushing it under the carpet? Like, what did you feel helped you at that time?
Space for me was a big thing.
Okay.
And it would be so different for other people. I know some people would feel quite lonely and want lots of people around. So you have to just ask the person, do you want me to be ringing you? Do you want me to be texting you? Or do you want to be left on your own? Because people deal with situations so differently. And before this had happened to me, I wouldn't have thought I would have reacted the way that I did. So it is very individual, but there's lots of things. All my friends like sent me care packages, which were so nice, you know, face masks, lots of nice stuff, pajamas. It was really thoughtful. They would send messages and be like, you don't have to respond.
Yeah.
Which was good, because I felt overwhelmed to write back to messages, even from the point when I put up that post I said I would reply to everybody. I had no idea the amount of messages that I would get, and I always want to reply to the messages. And because people were sharing such personal experiences, they weren't something that you would just send a love heart back to or give them the scene on it. They were conversations. They turned into conversations. I feel like I know lots of people now through the internet that I wouldn't have known. So it was. I felt very overwhelmed to respond to things, and I wanted to just shut down. I didn't want to respond. So it does depend on the person, but little things like that, little self-care package, a message just to say, I'm thinking of you, but you don't have to respond if you don't want to, because obviously you can feel pressure to do that as well.
And you don't want to sometimes be going over it or kind of filling people in. You just want to, you know, you're trying to survive yourself. So you can't keep everyone up to date with how you're feeling all the time.
Yeah. And a lot of the time you don't want to. You want to just feel it yourself, and you don't want to share it with anybody else. Like sometimes now when I'm feeling so sad, I don't want to tell anybody. I just want to deal with it myself, because I'm like, okay, it's over 4 months now. Should have moved on from this. But I also think that there's no specific time. Like people can be hurt and still be feeling it 5 years later. And I do think that the pain eases, or you learn to just deal with it a little bit better. At the time, it's all consuming and it's all you think about. But as the time goes on, you realise there is more things in life. You appreciate the things you have. I feel like I appreciate everything so much more, and I'm so grateful for my family and the friends that I have around me. And you realise too, the people that you want around you that make you feel good, you know, the people that you actually want to talk to, that kind of give you positive vibes, make you feel better, rather than, you know, sometimes you can go away from a conversation and think, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
So that's why I did just stay with my family at the time, because I knew anything that I said to them would stay within my family. And even sometimes when people don't mean to be talking about what you've said, it can come across in conversation, and then it's like wildfire. It's like loads of people know, and you don't want them to know such personal information.
I think I you know, would often put out on my Instagram, who would you like to hear from on the Good Glow? And it, you know, over the last 6 months, it's always been you. Loads of people saying, please get Dominique on. And not because they want to hear the details, like I said, you know, before we were going in. This isn't about the details of what happened. It's more about your story of overcoming. And the messages that I get from people are like, Dominique has done so much for women. And you, I know you're very modest, and you probably, you know, get messages every day from so many people to thank you and tell you how amazing you are to have spoken your truth, and you've given so many people strength. What has that side of it been like? Because you probably weren't expecting any of that.
No, not at all. I couldn't believe the reaction. And how nice so many people were as well. Like, there was a man that came into work who was a supplier for a bed company, and he was in his early 70s, and he came in and he was sitting at a table, and he had finished speaking to my dad, and I was wondering why he was still sitting there. And he came over and said to me, can I have a word with you? And I was like, what's he going to say? So I sat down at the table and he held my hand, and he was like, I heard what happened to you. He was like, my neighbour told me. I had obviously known him for years. He would pop in now and then. And he was like, you're a strong girl. You're going to get through this. I was so, I couldn't believe that he had come in and said it to me. He pushed a bottle of wine into my hands in a little brown paper bag. And the weeks after that, he was coming in and he was giving me little bits of advice. And he was like, 2 + 2 = 4, 3 + 1 = 4. There's different routes in life. You're going to find your happiness. And that was one of the last things he said to me. And he actually contracted COVID and he passed away last month. So I was like, I was so upset over that. And I was like, the last message that he gave me was that. But I was overwhelmed by the support from people. And I spoke to so many people in similar situations and it helped me so much. I don't think people will ever realise how much it did help me. Even talking to my phone, sometimes I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't talk about this online this much. But whenever I done the Q&As online, all the questions were just about it. And I didn't want my whole page to be a focus on that. But at the same time, I knew it was helping people. And when it happened to me initially, I kept thinking, God, I'd love to know somebody. Like, not that you want anybody to be going through it, but I'd love to know someone that had or went through something similar and they came out the other side or they felt happy again. And I was like, I'll be that person for people watching. Like, I still get messages now, you know, I've just broken up, this has happened, how did you deal with it? And there's no one answer. Time is a huge thing. But yeah, it's mad. Like, it's mad the effects that I know it has had on people, but I'm so glad that it has helped so many women and even men going through similar situations.
And that's the thing, like, even when you're really sad in your bed, and of course you're going to have bad days and good days, is that you know now deep in your heart that you have helped people, and out of something so terrible has come good things, you know. And you seem so much more positive. You're in a new year now, you will get through it. Do you believe in kind of, it might be a bit soon to ask you this, but do you believe in kind of things happening for a reason, or the universe guiding you and to a destination that you don't know where you're going yet, but you're trusting that good things are coming to you?
Yeah, I 100% believe in that. I feel like I do so much more now than I ever did before, like the universe guiding you. I felt like I got so many signs before I found out what was happening. And at the time, they were nothing. But when I look back on them now, I was like, somebody was looking out for me and wanted me to know what was happening before I actually got married or got a house. I was absolutely blessed in a way, because I could just cut off and not, like, I don't have any children, you know. There was no connection that I needed to keep to be able to move on from it. So I feel like I was really lucky in that respect. Like, it could have been so much worse. I thought of that straight away. I do believe in things. I believe in science. I remember I was in work one day and I was down the back of the shop and I found a butterfly on the ground, an orange butterfly. And I was like, the doors are never open in our shop. That's like literally the only way in. And this little butterfly just landed where I was, an orange butterfly. And I Googled, because I was like, this is a sign. And it was like transformation. I'm really into like horoscopes and all this, star signs now. And I feel like they always really resonate with me and the situation that's going on. I know a lot of people can be like, they are rubbish, but I like them and they give me some hope. And do you know, even like numerology, seeing 111 all the time, I feel positive when I see it. Like, I saw it this morning before coming here and I was like, okay, that's a good sign, I'm doing something.
What's your, what did you say your number? What's your number?
111 or 1111. Because I remember Googling what 111 was and it was like, your angels are guiding you.
Yeah.
So I do believe in all of that type of stuff now that I wouldn't have before. And anyone that I went to, the medium that I went to, Hazel, the Reiki master, they were all like, your granny is here, she's guiding you. And she was a really, really funny woman. The stuff that the medium said to me at the time, I laughed in it, because she was really outspoken with the stuff she said. And she said something in that, and I was like, oh my God, that had to be her. That had to have been her there, because she had just a funny, witty humour. And something she said, I couldn't stop laughing when the girl said it to me. But yeah.
Wow. And I think it's only when you're really digging deep that those sort of things help you so much. They can be the difference between getting through the day and not seeing 111 or seeing that butterfly. They are all the things that help you get through it. And I'll leave you with this question, Dominique. Thank you so much for just being amazing and so open and honest. But if you could go back to yourself, was it August or September? August. If you could go back to yourself in August and maybe, you know, sit on the bed with yourself when you were inconsolable, like, what would you tell yourself then, now?
I don't think I would have dealt with anything any different. So I feel like I would have just said to myself, you're going to have to just feel everything right now. You can't mm-hmm. escape what's going on. You're going to have to feel all of the emotions, knuckle down with your family, cocoon yourself, feel, do what you need to do to get through the day, and it will get better. It will just be time passing will make you feel a little bit better. You'll start to see hope in every day, because at the start I felt so hopeless and devastated, and now I have hope for the future. I feel like better things could be coming for me. I know what I want now. I know what I won't take. So I would just say to myself, you just have to get through this time, cry all out, cry as much as you need to cry, listen to the sad songs, the sad movies, watch the sad movies, I mean, and just feel it all. Everybody is behind you, all of your family want what's best for you and your friends, and you will get through it. That is just the message at the end of the day, because someone had messaged me, went through something similar, and she said that she wanted to take her life, and I saw the message and I was so glad that I saw the message and could respond to it so quickly. And she messaged me the next day and said, I want you to know that you saved my life. And I couldn't believe it, but the difference of having even a stranger, sometimes it's so much easier to talk to a stranger than it is your own friends about things. So I just want, if anyone has gone through, I want to say, don't feel hopeless, like, it will get better. And yeah, you just have to kind of power through it, feel the emotions, and you'll come out of it the other side a much stronger person than you ever thought you could be.
And it's such an important point to, like, acknowledge what you're going through. And I mean, that is the power of telling your story, is that you save one life. Like, that is just an incredible thing to do. And even though you've come from a place of such pain and such sadness, you are doing such amazing things with your voice. And I'll echo, you know, all of the listeners of the Good Glow in that, in thanking you for being so real over the last few months. And we have all felt your pain every single day with you, but it is so amazing to hear you coming out the other side and you using your voice for so much good. You should be so proud of yourself, and I'm sure your family are too, and we are all so excited to see what's next for you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Georgie.
Thank you for listening to the Good Glow podcast with thanks to Vichy. If you enjoyed this episode, please do subscribe to my podcast and leave a review. If you want to learn more about my story, you can follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford or head over to my website, thegoodglow.ie.